Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Chris Danahill always has thoughts in audio form.
Hey, Twitter world, yours truly. Happy Martin Luther King Day, incidentally.
Dan McNeil, Danny Parkins.
Here we go!
Afternoons on the Score.
I'm picking the Tennessee Titans to upset the Kansas City Chiefs 28-26.
Wrong.
Mahomes moving to his left laterally, chased, holding it, and gets out of bounds and up the sideline. He's not out of bounds yet. He's at the 10, inside the 10. He dives for the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City. A remarkable acrobatic scramble on a 27-yard run. Maybe the best play yet of Patrick Mahomes' incredible young career.
Hail, hail to the king of the Chiefs' kingdom forever. Because today, the team that Lamar Hunt founded has just won Lamar Hunt's trophy in the stadium that was Lamar Hunt's dream. Kansas City is the AFC champion. They are headed to Miami for Super Bowl 54.
And in the NFC title game, the 49ers blow the doors off the Packers in a 27-13 win.
Right, you're right.
And here's the snap to Rodgers. Steps, looks, fires it deep down the middle, going for Devontae Adams. And the pass is picked off of the deep secondary. And down goes Richard Sherman. Game, set, match.
Feel super, baby!
Feel great, baby!
Super Bowl champions are going back to Miami, where they have won two Super Bowls, and they're looking for number six.
Let's start filling up that other hand.
I said I'm going back to Miami. Going back to Miami.
I'm from Miami. You ever been there?
No.
Yo, saddle up, lock and load.
The McNeil and Parkins Show, afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
Good afternoon. Welcome on board. I'm Mac. Shep is with me today. Tanny, we got blank canvas for 10 days for Karen and her friends getting together to talk about what Miami actually is.
Well, now it's like you died and woke up in football heaven.
Oh, do I wish we were going, but that would have required an appearance by our local heroes. I don't, you know, maybe I'm wrong, Shep, but I don't remember in decades past where whenever, you know, the postseason didn't include the Bears, that every time there's playoff football, locally, the want for hosts, newspaper writers, fans, and social media didn't exist when Terry Bors and I did this in the 90s. But where the tendency is to immediately relate it to what we don't have locally. Has this been present since you've been doing this?
I think it's been more present because we're always told, oh, keep it local, get your local tie, get your local connection to it. And you can't help but watch those games. I mean, Patrick Mahomes is right there for you. I'm with you. I'm Team Mac on the line play thing. I think that it's good to have a good offensive line. Sign me up for one of those that San Francisco offered you. So that was front of mind. Like, God, this would be nice. You know, you have that Bears team, and you're told of all these great running backs that played before you were born. Gale Sayers, Walter Payton. It'd be cool to have an offensive line to give a couple of these guys, a David Montgomery, a chance to run behind. That'd be neat when you watched the 49ers yesterday.
Yeah.
That's where my mind went with it, and it was also just enjoyable to watch, especially that second game. That is a brand of football that I will sign up for watching a team for. Sign me up for 16 of those a year.
I loved them both. I loved two, you know, both games decided by double digits, and I loved them both because the teams which advanced imposed their will early and often. Not so early for the Chiefs. They didn't have the chance early because they didn't have the ball early on. They kept it away from Patrick Mahomes, a rare three and out for the Chiefs on their first possession. Did you find it curious? Did you think Andy Reid made the right call by deferring with the kick to, so he gets the extra possession rather than just, you know.
See, I thought that it's one of those of like the advanced metrics will tell you you always defer because you have the chance of exactly that happening, and the Chiefs took advantage of it and they ended up winning the game. But I thought that was one of those games that lend itself to receiving.
Want the ball. We're gonna put last year's MVP on the field and immediately put a knife in your belly and see what you do trailing 7-0.
Yeah, because you don't want to fall behind to the Titans, and sure enough, they do. They fall behind by 10, and what do you know? You blink, and all of a sudden, the Chiefs have the lead again. But I thought that they kind of applied to the, okay, there are certain games, there are certain setups, there are certain situations that the numbers be damned. I want the ball. I want the lead first. I want the chance to have the lead first. And I thought that that would have applied yesterday. Ends up not mattering because it's, okay, fall behind by 10 to the Titans. And we thought that might be the number of, okay, maybe that puts the Chiefs on the ropes. Not so much.
Yeah. Top of the hour brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Want your youth hockey team to play in front of thousands? Make it happen with the Chicago Wolves Youth Hockey Program presented by Kia. Go to chicagowolves.com/youthhockey. To learn more, anytime you want to get to us via text message, it's easy. It's 670-11. And to bring everything back to the dysfunction in Lake Forest, that's our habit here. I'll go along with it. Somebody got interesting habits. I've always been one to partake in a habit that isn't always the healthiest of things. But let me say this. There was something to take heart from last night in what happened to the Packers. And I was surprised I didn't see this anywhere. No, I didn't scour Twitter or Facebook, and I don't do Instagram as much as a lot of other guys around here, but I didn't see anybody suggest, here I am being, how come no one's talking about this?
It's Dan from Dyer on
it
line
is.
One.
It's Dan from Dyer. The Green Bay Packers next year, well, the defending NFC North champs are gettable. That's a takeaway that should make you feel good if you're a Bears fan. That defense was not nearly as good as it was advertised to be, and they were exposed last night as being not very physical. It was not the year in the division it was supposed to be, and I don't buy Aaron Rodgers is nearing the end as much as so many want to insist he is. But his skill levels have arguably diminished some. He wasn't very accurate last night. They didn't protect him particularly well either. And that was a surprise for me because I have a lot of regard for their tackles, both of them, Bakhtiari and the kid from Crystal Lake, Bulaga. But if you need a positive, here's Captain Positivity here to say, hey, you know, Packers are not a great football team, and they were the standard in the division.
Yeah, no, I think you're right about that. I thought that defense was, I didn't buy into it most of the year. Gave up more yards than they actually gained all season long, which is a surprise to see them get as far as they do. So maybe that goes to Matt LaFleur and great coaching, because how do you win 13 games? How do you go to an NFC Championship game if you're giving up more yards than you are gaining yards? Is it an opportunistic defense that's helping you set up and get takeaways and set you up on short fields? Is that part of it? I think that it speaks a little bit to the coaching there. But yeah, I don't look at the Packers right now and be like, yep, that's a standard and that's a model and they are going to be there for the next 4 years and 5 years. It's going to be impossible to get to. I just think that the gap of the Bears being able to compete in an NFC or compete for an NFC title, there's a long way to go when you start factoring in whether it's the Saints, and I know the Vikings were able to get them in the wild card round, but it's a long way to go, and there's a lot of holes to fill, and there's not many draft picks to do it with.
Nardi texting in suggesting the Packers looked scared to tackle. Well, you got to get off blocks first when you have that many. You know, they didn't tackle particularly well. I didn't think Tennessee tackled well earlier in the day either, but Green Bay just didn't get off blocks.
Well, the Mahomes run. The highlight Mahomes run.
That's the worst of it right there.
Is it just because people are scared to hit quarterbacks now? Because there were multiple chances on that run where it was,
I think it's kind of
bounces off, and it's like, you can't deliver a bigger blow than that.
I know. I think it's guys just expecting him to go down to the ground after just a little bit of a tap around the ankles. They were diving at him, and just didn't make any effort. I mean, he's a good runner. He's decisive in his decision-making.
Yes, they're okay.
I love that one. Get that one out early for the week. And he's quick, but he's not overwhelmingly powerful. I don't know why they didn't put some pads. That was a 27-yard touchdown run. And he should have been tackled twice.
Yeah,
he wasn't.
It was 27 yards, and it felt a lot longer because of the missed tackles and because of how he rolls to his left to get to the sideline. But yeah, it wasn't a model showing of form tackle videos for you.
I was surprised pleasantly, and I'm glad Andy Reid is in the Super Bowl. As much as I enjoyed the Titans and I played them on the money line yesterday, also took them, took the points with them, of course, too. They were getting 7.5. That's what I got it at. I don't know. I didn't see the number change.
7.5 is what I saw it at.
7.5. I like their style of football. I like Derrick Henry, but there's been a part of me for a couple years now that would love to see Andy Reid exercise the demons because there's a lot of stupidity that gets thrown out there that he's a choker. And his record in big games is not good. He now is 2-5 in conference championship games. He's appeared in one Super Bowl, head coach of the Eagles. They lost years back to the Patriots. But I was shocked he decided to go the route of the Tennessee Titans in the second half and just shorten the game and run the football. That's not Andy Reid. Wow.
Well, and then
they had 27 rushes yesterday. Now, that includes 7 or 8 from the quarterback, but that's a lot of runs.
And then also the moment towards the end of the game yesterday, I thought that you were going to get a cover there, a backdoor cover from the Titans, because there was the Marion Barber moment where they're
yes.
trying to run out the clock. They're trying to kill the clock up, was it 11 points at the end? And who was the running
Damian
back that
Williams.
Damian Williams yeah. jumps out of bounds like, anything yeah. but what are you doing?
Yeah. Did you say Marion Barber's name out loud?
Marion Barber.
Did you say it out loud?
Yes, immediately.
Did your wife
myself.
Ashley say, I have no idea who that is? Was she in the room with you? Did you watch with her?
Watched a good chunk of the games yesterday with her. Don't think she was there for that moment. Mm-hmm. There's another moment in a guest request that maybe we'll share later on of someone that might be joining the show in the next week and a half. That,
oh, good.
There was an all-time moment in requesting a guest and how it kind of played out last night.
Mm-hmm.
Time-wise, I think she was sick of me telling the story about that by the sixth time I told it.
Why did you keep telling it?
Because it was the timing of it was unbelievable of how it happened.
Okay.
Spoiler alert, it involves a Blackhawk scoring his 1,000th career
oh,
point.
Oh, very nice. That's good. I liked it. Yes, and I didn't turn on. We were in a one TV room, so the buddies were texting me about Patrick Kane being on the brink, and I didn't turn on the Blackhawks. I watched it today. I'm very happy for him, but yeah. I had football on the brain. That wasn't going to be a night where I was going to watch hockey.
Yeah,
they've won 5 straight. It's time to start paying more attention.
We might get a playoff team as a winter tenant after all.
If you can get in it, you can win it, especially with great goaltending, Shep.
That's right.
This hour brought to you by...
Tanny always tells me. On the other side of the glass, he's always in my ear.
Yes,
about that.
He's an expert when it comes to net minding.
Net-minded.
This hour is brought to you by Team Hochberg. Visit their new website, 56david.com. That's 56david.com. I just think you're... And I did it too. I'm not going to say I'm perfect, but you're cheating yourself if every time Patrick Mahomes throws a touchdown pass or completes a third down conversion where you just start pounding away at the Bears. I mean, it's gone. It's long gone. It's 3 years gone. And I like what you pointed out today that 3 of the 4 starting tackles of the winners are first round picks and the other is a second round pick. And for me, that's the rub with these Bears. That's an organizational failure for more than 35 years, going back to the Hall of Famer, Jimbo Covert, when he was drafted in that magical year of 1983.
Just waiting for Tanny to...
There we go. Yeah. I just assume Jimbo Covert is like Pavlovian. Anytime that name is mentioned, there's a reach for it. But those guys were terrific yesterday.
Well, it's also
McGlinchey out of Notre Dame is the 49ers' right tackle. Joe Staley, the left tackle, both first-round picks.
Yeah, Staley's been there, got 15 years now? How long has Joe Staley been a pro? It has been a long damn career, a great career for him as well. But he's been an absolute monster. And I know we talk about like how much the game has changed and so much of it goes to quarterback play has changed so much, and it's great to watch the athletes and the freaks like Patrick Mahomes be able to throw from any arm angle, deliver rockets down the field, and that's exciting, that's great, that's dandy. The offensive line and how that has changed, back from the big ugly days, like get your 350-pounder that's just going to bench press you 6 yards back. The 49ers offensive line, when you watch some of them pulling and some of the maneuvering that they do to get downfield and throw blocks downfield, like those aren't your traditional just line up and punch someone in the mouth. It's line up, sprint down the field with someone, and throw blocks, not just in your traditional just line up and hit somebody across from you.
Yeah, I Bernsie hit on this today. Kyle Shanahan, the son of Mike Shanahan, the former Broncos head coach.
Did they mention that on the broadcast at all yesterday?
Yeah, and what's he doing on the podium? Get this guy off the... He's like standing between... Come on, Bradshaw's trying to present it to Kyle Shanahan. And first, it's the owner who's going, Mike Shanahan standing in the way.
Get your red face out of here.
What, somebody call a Broncos reunion party? The hell off my podium. It's not my podium, but that's how they did it in Denver. It was a power running game, and the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. The bud doesn't fall far from the seed. You've heard all these cliches before.
And the oak doesn't fall far from the pig's butt. Is that how Hamp described it?
He probably would if given a chance, and it was fun to watch. If you're beating the crap out of somebody and they're not going to stop it, Why mix it up? George Kittle's commentary afterward was right on the money. He feels like it was, what'd he say? It was almost like a bye week?
Yeah,
something like that.
To welcome back to the show, George Kittle. Before we started this interview, you said to me, how about that run game, SVP? You tell me, how about that run game? It was thorough. Was that the sense of what you wanted to do from the jump?
Our game plan was we're going to run until they can stop us. And so when you get 42 rushes before the three kneels, so 45 total, but when you get 45 rushes on them, I think that means they can't stop the run game. And so we're just going to keep running it down your throat, whether it's outside zone, inside zone, gap schemes. We're just going to keep bringing it every single time. And I think our line, our wide receivers blocked so well. I think Emmanuel had zero catches, but he was so pumped because he was killing it in the run game. And just when you have guys like that on the team that sacrifice everything, you know, no matter if they don't get a catch or not, it's just, I'm so proud to be a part of this team, these guys.
Yeah, you didn't even need to get your hands on the ball till the middle of the fourth quarter. And, I mean,
jeez.
Is that just, what's
that's
the,
awesome.
So that's you, if you guys win and you don't touch it, you don't care?
No, I mean, the more you get tackled, the sorer I am in the morning. So I'm going to wake up tomorrow, I'm going to be going to the Super Bowl, and I'm going to feel great. So I'm pretty excited.
There's George Kittle. Here's a guy who can do it all, and he's okay if he just has to block. One reception yesterday, that was it. The one in the fourth quarter, they just asked him about. That's
yeah,
it, right?
That was it. I mean, it was, what, 8 attempts all day long for Jimmy Garoppolo.
And he got a lot of praise from Troy Aikman for being the most complete tight end in the game today, and I think many people agree with that. And he's the third round, or he's in his third season. And, of course, the Bears are among those that didn't really express much of an interest. And you've been all over the general manager for the last few shows. Anytime you get airspace, you want to remind Ryan Pace that he drafted Adam Shaheen instead of George Kittle.
That's right.
Because
we're all Bears-centric in this city. It all comes back to how they screwed it up in Lake Forest.
Well, they have. It's been the story of my life when I've watched the Chicago Bears football squadron. Them screwing it up in different ways and, you know, looking at the guy down I-80 in Iowa City. Might have been a good idea to go to the tight end factory that is the University of Iowa.
Shep, you hypocrite. You were saying Joik Bell was your guy from day one.
I know.
You don't
need
Raheem Mostert on your squad.
Joik Bell over Mostert. So Mostert, with a performance that is near what he did yesterday in 13 days, has a real, if he does that again, there's a real solid chance he winds up winning the Super Bowl MVP. If the Niners win,
you put
win,
up 200 yards, yeah, I think you had a pretty good chance.
If you win, yeah. And I think there would be a chance where Patrick Mahomes has a huge day in a losing effort and wins MVP. That doesn't happen very, it's happened once.
Super
in
Bowl
Super
five?
Bowl history, yes.
Was it five?
Only one player on a losing team, and it was Super Bowl five when a Cowboys linebacker.
That's right. Who was it? It was
Chuck Howley.
The answer. I was going to call him,
yeah.
Ron Howley. Chuck Howley.
Yeah, Chuck Howley. He's the only guy who's ever won Super Bowl MVP on a losing team. Raheem Mostert, the former Bear, could wind up being your Super Bowl MVP, or you could have Patrick Mahomes in a losing effort. If he throws for 400 yards and loses, he might be a co-MVP with whoever the most important player was to the Niners. And I don't think Mostert is all that. He's quick. He's slight, though, and he runs kind of straight up. I guess you can get away with that when nobody is hitting you. But I don't – anybody could have – and I shouldn't say anybody, but there are a lot of guys who could have had the big day yesterday the way he did because nobody got to him.
Yeah. Well, I also like the blow that he delivered on the last of his – was his third touchdown run, where there's a couple of DBs that are trying to flail at him towards the end zone, and he gets yeah. right to the goal line. And was it 26 for Green Bay? Just – that man has a family. He
yeah.
lowers the shoulder when he gets to the
yeah.
goal line.
Yeah.
Sends the guy about 3 yards back.
Yeah. It was called a pancake, I
yes.
believe, by our broadcast crew. Our broadcast crews will go under the microscope today as well. well, since there seems to be some spirited debate about it. But again, keep those text messages coming at 670-11. We're out of here a little bit early, actually quite early tonight. 3:45, we'll be out of here. Bulls and Bucks, right? It is the Bucks.
Yes.
This afternoon.
Yeah, what does Giannis have to do to get Greek food tomorrow? We have some kind of side bet we can do on the show pot.
Here's the deal. Let's get Greek food tomorrow regardless.
Okay.
But let's get it at a time where it can be eaten before the plane goes in the air. Because I've been wasting a lot of money on food that I never eat. We make the order sometimes around 1 o'clock. And once we start, I'm not interested very much. Sometimes I leave it here in the refrigerator. I have 3 different restaurants with stuff in the fridge down the hall. It's been there for a month.
And I know the guys that come in after me are sick of all the lemon juice all over the console here. So. I'd be cool with that. What a novel concept.
The Chinese food we got last week, I had maybe a cup full of the Kung Pao chicken. The egg foo young is still sitting. It didn't look real good anyway. There's no gravy. You can't have egg foo young without gravy. It needs a gravy. So that's got to eat it. I mean, I'm happy to treat, but I'm spending this money and I'm not ever eating anything. It's just not good. How'd you get to be 240, Dan? Well, I managed to eat somewhere along the way. All right, Shep is in for Parkins. I'm Mac. We're glad you're with us on a short show today. It's the Score Sports Radio 670.
Rodgers backpedals as he throws a strike to Lazard, who goes for a ride and has a first down as Jimmy Ward flipped him after a gain of 19.
Get your hands off our Jimmy.
Jimmy Ward referenced this past Friday on the McNeil and Parkins show. Get your hands off our Jimmy. Spoken by Matt Willard of Mark Willard. I was just told that off the air, too. Mark Willard.
Got the first two letters of the first name right.
Mark Willard, talk show host in San Francisco. Spiegel was in for Parkins on Friday when we were at Cubs convention, and Spiegs, Shep, and I went around the table and we said, all right, pick one player off each of the conference finalists. Can't be a quarterback. Which guy makes the Bears better? And Jimmy Ward's name came up. And not the first name that came up, but we certainly talked about it. And I threw out David Bakhtiari. He did not have a great game on the Packers offensive line. None of them had a great game last night. But I look to the grunts. That's where I look to, and that's what's been missing in the Bears world to overcome a subpar quarterback or a game managing quarterback. A run game can be a real valuable thing, can't it?
Yes, it can be, especially when you look at Jimmy Garoppolo yesterday. Okay, why pass the ball if you don't have to pass the ball? 8 attempts all day long, and they still light up the scoreboard for 37 points, and they get a trip to Miami for the Super Bowl, which do you have a feel on the Super Bowl yet? Thought on it, because usually I have a pretty strong, at least not to say it's always right, but I at least have a feel of, all right, I feel good about this team. I feel great about this team. This one feels about as much of a toss-up as I can remember.
Yeah.
Instant feel.
I get it. I'm hearing a lot of people express that sentiment, and I totally understand why. And I said last night after the game, it's a coin flip for me too. Now, before the day started, my feeling was whomever emerges from the AFC title game, I will take them to take the confetti shower in Southern Florida. The Titans, had it been them, would have gone through 3 very good football teams all on the road to get there. So I would have chosen them, likely, and the Chiefs, the way they've done business. And coming back from a 24-point deficit against the Oilers. Oh, my goodness. The Texans. It's been a long day, Shep. I was in Glenview unnecessarily at 8 o'clock this morning.
Break down some Bruce Matthews offensive line play for us.
Good old number 74. I believe he's local, isn't he?
Is he really? I didn't know that.
But, watching what San Francisco did, I have no idea. I know this much. Whichever team I am going to choose as my bet, it's going to be a real small play. I don't feel strongly either way. So that's going to be a real small investment and a bet. It's not an investment. I need to stop using that word erroneously. I will do a ton of propositional plays. I'm going to watch a couple of their last playoff games and we'll try to find some areas where, you know, some guys might be stronger than others on the line of scrimmage, play overs, unders on guys' tackles, play overs and unders on rushing yards, receiving yards, third down conversions. San Francisco was 60% yesterday, that sort of thing. Because I have fun doing that. Because you've always got action. A guy catches a pass. There's one. You need three more, you know? That's what's fun for me. And happy to report that we have a little bit of a show pot bank.
Wow.
That has been, we haven't done anything with our show pot in ages. That is so disingenuous, Danny. Whoa. The most inappropriate Joe Tessitore whoa ever. I put a grand in it a couple weeks ago, and I think we won $270 yesterday. You know, we lost a little. We won more than we lost, and I've got a bank going with my guy on the street. But it's going to be primarily proposition bets because I don't have a feel for this thing. Usually I do. I'm like you. I usually have a feel for it. I have no idea how this thing's going to shake out.
I mean, it's San Francisco. You watch that offensive line. Do you look at that and say, oh, yeah, that can't compete against the Chiefs? Then the Chiefs shut down the run game for the most part yesterday, or at least as well as anyone has shut down.
Well, they didn't shut it. Right. They only had a couple carries in the second half, though.
Sure. And it's like they got behind a little bit, and the Chiefs started to go on a run.
Yeah, it's a window.
And they started to avoid it.
Yeah, they get a lead, and Andy Reid chews up clock time. What?
Didn't see that coming.
What's that? What is he doing? The ball control. That's not what you do. It's score it as quickly as you possibly can. I probably lean Chiefs because of Garoppolo. If San Francisco is trailing by a significant margin, if Mahomes gets a quick two touchdowns on him, and why would you think he can't?
Mm-hmm.
Is Jimmy Garoppolo the type of guy who can bring his team from behind? Now, I know he has the very special game they had in New Orleans when they put 46 points up against a good defense, and they rallied late. He did it on that day. He's been way better than people think he is, but I don't know if you can put the team on his back trailing the Chiefs by 14 or more. I don't think you can.
No, I don't think so either. And it's just kind of avoid being down 14, count on the power run game, count on what you saw yesterday. The problem is you're not playing the Green Bay Packers again. And I don't think that you own, especially the middle of the field, I don't think you own that nearly as well as you did yesterday. Green Bay, a couple of pass rushers that'll get after you. They didn't really have the mauling tackles that'll slow down and stop a running game, and it was exploited yesterday. I think the Kansas City, I like their chances to be able to slow things down. Not necessarily stop it, but at least slow down that run game better. So if I lean the Chiefs out of the chute, but I don't necessarily feel great about either way.
I was commiserating with buddies via text last night, a little three-way action going to Packers fans, and I was consoling them as throughout the course of the evening, and I didn't tell them up front that I loaded up on the 49ers and did a margin of victory prop. That was the big winner. Margin of victory, 13 to 18 points. It started to look like there's no way it's going to be as few as 18, but Green Bay actually gets... San Francisco played a real soft secondary in the second half, and Rodgers was able to come back to life and take advantage of that. But one of them sends a text in the third quarter. Hey, are my eyes deceiving me, playing tricks on me, or was that Blake Martinez finally making a tackle? Because they did not.
No, not at all.
They laid down on defense, man. What is up with that?
It was a secondary that you heard how much better they are in coverage. Oh, they're better in coverage this year, and that's was the storyline after week one and Trubisky not being able to play well in that game was, oh my God, look at this Packers secondary. They finally have a secondary. Okay, not one that's really interested in being physical or stepping up and making a tackle yesterday.
Adrian Amos got hurt. That doesn't make a difference when a guy's rushing for 220 yards.
Right. If your safety gets hurt, that's what's going to slow down a run game. That's what you're counting on. You got problems if you're getting to the secondary often. That's like Green Bay did yesterday.
Bottom of the hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. If you want to sign a one-day contract with the Wolves, it comes with a $5,000 signing bonus. Go to chicagowolves.com/sprint to learn how to win the Sprint Power Play Payday. You never were much of a fan of the... the salesman, Jim Nance, although that changed a little bit when he did a really good interview with us little more than a year ago.
Yeah, right, when he came on and Patriots. He was really cool. And you get some of these guys that are awesome on the air and Dirk's off of the air. And then that was special. Wow. What do you do off the air? Well, I spend my time doing this. Hello, friends. I'm Jim Nance. But he was awesome off of the air to tie it all together, and it made me like a Jim Nance more.
We know the stuff that both high marks for both broadcasts overall, but there was something said in the AFC Championship game, and I wasn't sure did I hear that correctly, and I went back and watched it this morning. And I heard what I thought I heard. I want to get into that in just a little bit and also get some of your text reaction on this. It was more split than I thought it would be yesterday on Twitter regarding the great Tony Romo, the $10 to $14 million man. But a few thoughts on that and see what you think of something that happened in the AFC title game, and also Joe Buck with something he said yesterday that I thought was a little bit curious. Shep is in for Danny Parkins. I'm Danny Mac. Boomer Esiason in about 20 minutes. This is Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Jim, I'm going to tell you right now, touched on it, how big a certain drives are, right? Well, everyone's the biggest. The Cinderella story comes down to this. I really believe for Tennessee to win this football game, this needs to be, something has to happen here with points on this drive, or pin them to the one and stop them kind of thing. It has to be something, or this is not going to end well for them.
Yes. I got the same thing.
That's how you get that 14,000 square foot home in Scottsdale. That was Hawk talking about Konerko, but Tony Romo coming up with the big thoughts yesterday during the AFC title game. That jumped out at me as Captain Obvious personified. Yeah, the Titans are trailing. They're on the ropes. They need to get points this drive. Thank you.
Yeah, it was stating the obvious, something that I think happens in a lot of these broadcasts from time to time, and it bit Tony Romo a bit yesterday on that one.
This segment on the Scores broadcast day brought to you by your Chicagoland Papa John's. The new extra cheesy Alfredo pizza from Papa John's has all the craveable and flavorful goodness you want from a pizza. Extra cheese and a three cheese blend with Alfredo sauce and garlic parmesan crust. Try it for just $10 today. Better ingredients, better pizza. Papa John's. I recognize, going into this thought, this little segment we're going to do here, I recognize the overwhelming majority of people love Tony Romo. I know he has, in short order, sort of captured the imagination of a nation. He has got youthful enthusiasm. He likes his job. Those are positives. He has an uncanny ability to see what the set is they've got with personnel groupings. He's watched enough game film to recognize what likely is going to happen at the snap of the ball. He's very, very good at those things. But I don't know how he ascended to this level so quickly, because he makes a lot of mistakes that aren't acceptable in my world for a guy who's on the number one team. And I want to point to something that happened early in the second quarter yesterday. Now, we all make mistakes, but to me, this one is so egregious, it deserved a conversation with producers at CBS. Say, hey, Tony, what happened here? Let's talk about it. There were a couple of them yesterday, but this is one of them. Early second quarter, the Titans leading. They have the ball at the Chiefs' 26-yard line, I want to say. And Ryan Tannehill is facing a 3rd and 22, and he drops back to pass. He is pressured. He eludes the pressure, steps up, and he's looking for Corey Davis, who's being worked on by the corner Breland, the former Redskin. Yeah. I think he's an Indiana kid, IU. And, here's what ensued. Some misunderstanding of what the rules are when there is either a pass interference or a defensive hold. Here we go.
And a completion with a flag late thrown in. What did you see there, Gene Steratore?
Gene, is this a first down if it's a penalty?
Looks like they're looking at a potential defensive hold right now. And if it is acceptable, it will be 5 yards previous spot and a first down.
Ooh. Wow, on 3rd and 22, if that's the case.
What would it be if it's on the defense, Gene? That's not a first down. That's what Kansas City fans want to know.
Are you serious? Gene, is that a first down?
Gene, is this a first down if it's a penalty?
Yeah, yeah. It's an obvious penalty on Kansas City because Chiefs players were raising their hands up. Oh, I can't believe you're going to call that. Breland was very, very upset. And the Titans, on the other hand, their body language was, hey, we got a fresh set of downs here. Now, Romo, a few seconds later, accurately pointed out it was a dumb penalty on Breland's part. Because Davis was 10 yards short of the first down marker. They're going to trot their kicker out and settle for three. So that much of it is accurate. But how in the world, just a brain cramp? How do you ask your rules expert, Gene Steratore, is that whether it's a defensive hold or a PI, it's an automatic first down?
What defensive penalties are there besides offsides that aren't an automatic first down? That you can have face mask, obviously.
Any personal fouls is a first down.
Any pass interference is first
PI
down. Defensive holding.
Illegal
contact is going to be a first down. Hands to the face is a first down. Is there a defensive penalty besides offsides that's not an automatic first down? I can't think of one off the top of my head. That's an incredibly obvious one. There's a penalty in the secondary. It is going to be a first down. I don't get why.
I just don't get it, and I don't know.
It's the interviews with ESPN during the week, like when Matt Nagy was interviewing for the Bears job here, and they forgot to run the ball in the second half, and he blew that game for Kansas City. Yeah. Calling plays a couple of years ago against the Titans, it was the brain fart that Tony Romo had because he's interviewing with ESPN for his $14 million a year.
Gene, is this a first down if it's a penalty?
Yep, that would be pass interference. And back when you played, they had the same rules. Pass interference, first down. Defensive hold, first down, Tony. Fresh set of downs for the Titans. Bad penalty on Breland's part.
I agree. I get the same.
My
I agree.
God.
So you're just,
he is
what
squeaky.
Is it about you don't like him?
He's squeaky. I think he needs some voice training. I don't think the networks care. Whether it's CBS, ESPN, NBC, ABC, The Score, ESPN Radio down on State Street. There's not a whole lot of training in our business. I think management takes the approach, if people like it, serve it up, and they don't train. And I think he could use some vocal training. He's got a squealy voice. I don't like a squeaky, high-pitched voice that I don't care for. I don't care for a professional broadcaster saying especially. Maybe that's something let go of. I know you're a next jock, and I know that you're appealing to a lot of people who really don't give a damn about that, but you're a professional broadcaster. Don't say especially. And I asked a few people today in business if they were in a meeting with associates, with an important client, et cetera, and somebody on the staff said, especially, would you have a conversation privately afterward? And 3 out of 3 people said, yes, that's not acceptable in business. I don't want our company being represented by somebody who uses especially. But people love him. So you're going to be getting a lot more of him on Monday nights this coming year.
Does it bother you when people say verse? That it's going to be the Chiefs versus the 49ers in the Super Bowl? Because that one drives me absolutely nuts.
You
turn on local radio here. A lot of people guilty of the verse against verses and not understanding that a verse might be something that you see in a song.
I'm hearing more and more people say V, just using the letter V.
You hear people saying that or just Danny Parkin saying that?
No, Ford v. Ferrari. That's the official name of the film. It's nominated for an Oscar, I believe, right?
Is
it? Ford v. Ferrari. I'm almost positive it's V. Ford v. Ferrari. Which is only going to be in theaters for a short time. It's going to see 1917 tonight, one of the Oscar noms. I've punched out 3 of the 9, including Parasite, over the weekend. Tanny, have you seen Parasite
yet?
Well,
it's funny you mentioned that. On Friday when you guys were out at Cubs convention, Bernstein stopped by my little studio over there, which is not common practice around here, especially, you know, over the past couple years, and he said, you have to see Parasite. He was raving about it. He told me, I've got to see it. I will watch it because, usually his reviews, be it recommendations, be it food or movies, I will take him up on. But Mac, your thoughts?
I'm not surprised. He liked Get Out. Anybody who liked Get Out will like Parasite. It's South Korean Get Out. is what it is. It's subtitled, if you can get past that. I know a lot of people don't want to work that hard. I typically don't like watching subtitled movies. If I want to read for 2 hours, I'll grab a book and do it much more quickly than watching a movie. I don't want to work that hard. I want them to tell me what's... I don't want to have to read. I didn't care for it. I thought it was very well cast, and I guess it they got the best ensemble cast at the SAG Awards last night. It was very well cast. It's set in a beautiful home in South Korea. That's a positive. Really nice house.
Good selling point for a movie.
Anyway, it's a great film. It really is.
Except for the darkness below.
Well, I've heard nothing about it. So he recommended just keep it that way. If you don't know anything about it going in, just watch it and let it wash all over you. So.
Yeah, I'm not going to say anymore. I did not care for it. I thought it was well done for people who like that genre. It's not my genre of food or movie.
So you didn't offer any reason why you liked it? There wasn't a Sage Rosenfels like cameo or anything?
That, you know, it seemed like he was really like, you know, I like when you can watch something, have a wash over you, and like kind of obsess about it after, where you leave the theater or you're done watching a movie at home and you're like, man, why did they do that? Why did they make that decision? What did that represent? He told me there was a lot of that going back after the fact and reading about it and, you know, scenes where they set it up, the things that were placed in scene, things like that. So I like to obsess about things like that. So that kind of caught me a little bit. So
okay. All right. I love it. Got what? 6 more of them I got to punch out before Oscars night. And I'm going to let them wash all over me with 1970. Just what we needed, another war movie. Boomer Esiason is coming up in a few moments. He is our Monday afternoon quarterback on the McNeil and Parkin Show. You got Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.